السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, our sisters who listen over receivers, and also today I believe general Islamist listeners. As is traditional, that whenever there is a nikah, then we speak something about marriage in Islam, nikah in Islam. This wonderful institution that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And in fact, this nikah is coming down right from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and it will continue even in Jannat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala clearly mentions it in the Quran Sharif. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. So even in Jannat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will unite if they were believers, if they obeyed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if they were husband and wife in this world, then they will be united in Jannat also. Their children also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will unite them in Jannat. It's a very beautiful relationship that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created for the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and for the ummats of the past also, but there were great differences in the ahkam and the laws. Now this nikah which is taking place, we have attended so many nikahs of such a nature. We all know that there will be some witnesses, there will be some wakil, there will be some khutbah that will be read, and then there will be some ijab and qubool. Now all those things we are familiar with. Also with regards to the rights and the duties, who does not know how one should treat his wife and how the wife should obey the husband and she should not abuse the husband? Due to the large number of booklets and books that have been published and so much of programs that take place over the radio stations and so much of bayans now that we call it bayans unlimited, so who does not know? Then what is the reason that we still have so much of problems in our society, especially when it comes to marriage? So now I'm just discussing general issues. Whatever will come to my mind, I will put forward before you. I haven't planned and programmed that I'm going to say this and say that. Because it is my experience that there are sometimes certain examples which come 100 times within a short period of time. And some examples don't come to mind for a whole year and sometimes for a couple years. So I truly believe that whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts into the mind at that moment in time, then it is beneficial for someone or the other or for myself or whoever is listening. So with regards to nikah also, we know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala desires that there should be happiness. There should be happiness between the husband and the wife. Therefore in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala clearly mentions that that is the purpose of nikah. Allah Ta'ala Himself put love, affection. Allah Ta'ala Himself puts compassion, mercy, kindness. I'm just giving you explanation. There's no time to go into detail, ayat and tafsir. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who puts mawaddat and muhabbat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who puts love, compassion, mercy, kindness in the heart of a woman who has come as a stranger into the house. It is only now that we are talking about getting to know, getting to know. In Sweden, there was a time when it was stated in one of the articles that even if nobody works for the whole, for the next 6 years, nobody works. And each and everyone has to just live on their income or their savings and their investments. Then too it would be sufficient for the entire Switzerland. And it was well known that you must stash away your money in Swiss banks. Everybody used to say you must stash it away in Swiss banks. But of course we all know what has happened now. But that is not the point. The point is that everything was free. There was nothing that restricted anybody in that country. Everything free. So much so that sexual relationship with any woman you can have and the type of life that they were leading is unreal, unbelievable. But when man degenerates to the level of animalism, then you can expect anything. So with all that kind of freedom that they had, where there was no question of not getting to know the person that you were going to marry, then why did they have 70% of the marriages ending in divorces? 70%, in one of the articles I read, 70% were ending in divorces. Now would we say that they didn't get to know those girls sufficiently well? So that is where the problem lies, that we want to get to know. They say we want to get to know. If you want to get to know, then find out through family members, find out through friends, find out through people who know the girl, who know the boy, what is the characteristics, what is the behavior, what is the mannerism. All those things we can find out, how our parents and our grandfathers and how the people from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the pious and the righteous ones, how did they marry and then live for 50 years, 60 years married? It just reminds me that I got married on the 26th of December, 1969. And something unique about that nikah was that I gave the bayan for my own nikah. So I had to impress the in-laws how I must take care of the wife. In that bayan, I had to give a bayan to say how a husband must take care of the wife, because the in-laws were listening. But alhamdulillah, although it was a boxing day, we haven't boxed much. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from that time, how did people get to know? So that is exactly the same procedure. In fact, when the people try to court and go around and say that for 2-3 years we are going to get to know each other, those are the marriages that suffer. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ghazab and anger is then focused on those marriages. Unless, of course, they sincerely repent, sincerely repent. Ya Allah, we made a mistake, we were young, we did not know what we were doing, we don't justify what we were doing. Then inshallah, the person will get on track and he'll have happiness. As I said, alhamdulillah, we have had a lot of happiness in our marriage. Husband and wife have to be partners. As I always say, that through rainy or through cloudy weather, you and I, we sail together. We have to keep sailing together. Rainy, cloudy, sunny, whatever weather, husband and wife have to share. They have to care. Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha's incident suddenly pops up in my mind. And it's beautiful. Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala, and it somehow seems to be linked also with the last week's bayan. Last week I mentioned one hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked that what is salvation, how can I get salvation? Every person is desirous of salvation. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned three things. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, Amlik alayka lisanak, for those who were not here last week, Amlik alayka lisanak, that exercise full control over the usage of your tongue. I'm not going to go into details today, but exercise full control. You must be malik over your tongue. That means don't say things which you will have to regret later. Don't use this tongue in such a manner that it will create chaos, fitnas, corruption. It will slice the heart if you have to connect it with nikah. Then again the same thing, قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. It is linked up, all these things are linked up. That say gentle words, be kind, do not be harsh, do not be hard. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being told, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَزًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَدُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. That if you had been harsh and hard-hearted, then these people would have dispersed from you. They wouldn't have even stayed around you. The Sahaba-i-Kiram radiyallahu anhu majma'in, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying that he is being told that if you had been harsh and hard-hearted, which of course Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very gentle, very kind, very compassionate, very loving, very caring. So therefore the numbers also kept on increasing around Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam until the whole of Arabia accepted Islam. And then after that we see throughout the world today the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If any person has to implement, leave alone a Muslim, even if a non-Muslim without accepting Islam has to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam in his life, he too will get the benefits in this world. In the akhirat he may not get. But in this world, he too will get the benefits. For example, if a person had to implement the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regards to economy, with regards to our finances, and with regards to our investments, and with regards to our business dealings, if a non-Muslim has to implement it, he too will be safeguarded. This whole collapse that we are reading of, and this recession, and this crush, and everything else, we all know that what is the basis of that. The basis of that is the riba economy. Everything is based on riba, everything on interest. And we too were going hook, line and sinker. As we saw them going into credits and debts, then we too, any building, any property, anything, we say it's cheap, buy it, it's cheap, buy it. How are you going to buy it? Get loan through the banks. So bonds upon bonds upon bonds. Probably they saw a lot of films, James Bond. So what happened after that? Then this crush, complete crush. So any person, even if he does not accept Islam, if he has to implement the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him the benefits in this world. For the Muslims, it will be in this world and in the akhirat. Because they believed in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam and they implemented it. They did not wait to understand what the benefits are. This is our weakness that we first want to understand. If something is authentically proven to have been told by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then there must be no question of we are waiting to first check with our own intelligence that whatever he has said, what is the wisdom behind it. If it is authentic, I'm not talking about fabricated things, there are lots of literature, there's lots of fabrication. We have to be so careful, we have to read between the lines, and we have to even check that from where the literature is published, who are the authors of it. There are so many things in the name of Islam that's just flooding the internet and flooding our post boxes and flooding our libraries. Everything Islam, Islam, Islam. Any person, anything he dreams of becomes Islam. I'm talking about authentically proven things. Anything is authentically proven. Then after that we must not wait for to understand what was the wisdom behind it. If we accept it and we implement it, then Allah Ta'ala will give us an understanding also what great wisdom there was behind it. So the Muslim, he implements on the authority of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, he gets barakat, blessing and the ni'mats in this world and in the hereafter. And the other person now is only looking at what is the benefit. If he can't understand a benefit, then he says, I don't accept it. So it means he doesn't accept Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the authorities. So that is the difference. That's why they get it in this world, but they won't get it in the akhirat. Before that incident slips my mind, so Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiyallahu ta'ala, on one occasion he started tearing, and that's what I was discussing, that last week's Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hadith Sharif was discussed, where he said that amlik alayka lisana, that be very careful with the usage of this tongue. Most of the marriages that break down is because of the usage of the tongue. Either the women folk are unconcerned what kind of language they use, what kind of attitude they have, what kind of words they use. They do not see that the husband just came from the outside. He came from hard work. He came from so much of other problems in the outside world. Now when he comes into the house, at least she must delay and postpone whatever her demands and requests are with regards to so many things in the house and with herself. Must find the right opportunity. First welcome the husband, feed him, entertain him. And the same with the husband, that he must not just enter into the house with all those problems of the outside world, where some customers and clients were swearing him, and some manager and director and was cursing him and giving him more burden than he can bear. So So now he brings all that and he walks into the house now very, very hard and very harsh and very arrogant, and the person is puffed up and is, and any little word some child says or some wife says, the person becomes completely intolerant and he starts giving vent to his anger. Now that is not the Muslim. A Muslim must enter into the house like how his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam entered, with cheer, with smile, make salam, talk nicely to the wife, discuss general issues. The person doesn't have to only sit and talk Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif. Nobody said that. Talk general issues. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to sit with his wives and used to discuss. They used to talk other things. He used to be amongst them, laughing, smiling. As long as there was no ghibat, there was nothing sinful. And then as soon as azan went, then they say it was as if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not even recognize us who we were, and he went away to the masjid. But look how caring he was within the house, the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the greatest after Allah. Ba'das khuda buzruk tui qissa mukhtasar. But he's helping his wives. Sometimes he's sweeping the floor, sometimes he's kneading the dough, sometimes he's knitting with the needle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't find that below his dignity. And we are so high level people that we can't help and assist the wife in any way because below our dignity. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that amlik alayka lisana, have complete control over your tongue. Wal yasa'aka baytu, I explained that in great detail, that in these times of fitnas and corruption and mischief, either you go out of your home for something that's necessary, you go to visit some family member, some friend, or you go for some work, for some business, or you go out for da'wat, you go out for tabligh, you go for amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar, some waaz, some nasihats, or you go to the masjid for namaz. But don't go unnecessarily into the bazaars and shopping complexes and marketplaces and malls and get mauled there. Because those places are not for a Muslim to pass his time. And look at the fitnas today. Wherever you are going, even you have to worry if the car is going to be where it is. They say the greatest happiness of the day today is when you park your car somewhere and when you come out from the shopping complex, it's still there. Then that gives greatest happiness. So you have car problem, you have hijacking problem, and you have so many other problems. And then to burn the heart, I explained that the person is going into those malls and shopping complexes and everywhere without any reason, and he doesn't even have that kind of money in the pocket, and he will not be able to buy everything that he is seeing there. So it's going to create great amount of desires inside which he cannot fulfill. So who is he hurting? He's hurting himself. Nevertheless, I'm not going in that direction again, otherwise we will end up there. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says after that, and وَلْيَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَةِ وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَةِ, and cry over your sins, over your mistakes, over your faults. Shed tears of remorse, regret and repentance. There's no question of a Muslim saying, I enjoyed this sin last night. What a film it was that I saw last night. And how I enjoyed myself with that haram, illicit woman last night. There's no question of a Muslim saying, I enjoyed myself at the casino, disco and clubhouse. That is all like places of filth. If a person has slipped and he has fallen into the gutter, then he must not remain in the gutter. He must stand up quickly. He must jump up and get to the bathroom, have a shower, change his clothes, put ether, perfume and smell sweet again. But no sensible person will remain in the gutter. So that is for those who don't believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they will say, we enjoyed it. And this is where the major mistake comes of newly married couples and those who are on honeymoon. So then they think that we can now enjoy ourselves free of any kind of restriction because we are newly married. So therefore there's no restriction. The namazas are neglected, watching porn films, going to haram places and saying that we are enjoying ourselves. Now that is what then later brings disaster in that marriage. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and cry over your sins. And this is what brought me to this. That is how we connected it. That Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala, on one occasion, he was crying. He was tearing. So his wife asked that, why are you crying? What is it? Something serious happened. Suddenly you are crying, you are tearing. You are in very deep pain, in grief, in sorrow. What has happened? Because she started tearing herself. As soon as she saw Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha tear and cry, she started tearing and crying herself without even asking him. Before she even asked him, she started tearing. So then she asked him he asked her that, why are you crying? First, Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha asked her that, why are you crying? So the reply, and that is what the relevant point is, that the reply that she gave, that whatever makes you cry, makes me cry. She didn't even ask him what it was. He says, whatever is making you tear and cry, that's exactly what's making me cry. So Abdullah bin Rawaha, radiyallahu ta'ala, he said that I was thinking of Pul Sirat. Now this is a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's thinking of Pul Sirat. And we commit sins day and night, and we don't even think of Pul Sirat. He says, I was thinking of that Pul Sirat, that bridge over Sirat. The bridge over Jahannam, that Pul Sirat. He says, I was thinking of that. Will I be able to cross that bridge, or will I fall into Jahannam? Will I be able to cross that bridge, or I'll fall into Jahannam? And who was he? A sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And these people were guaranteed Jannat. But yet they cried. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is crying. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is crying. I have explained this many times. But the point here, relevant to this nikah, is that she looked at Abdullah bin Rawaha crying. So she started tearing before even asking him what reason there is for him to cry. Now who can do that? It's only a wife and husband between whom there is great amount of love, affection and muhabbat. There are so many incidents of this nature, but this just came to mind now, so I related it. That this is a very clear indication that a wife, the moment she sees the husband in grief, in sorrow, she feels grief and sorrow. The moment she sees the husband tearing, she is tearing. Because the husband himself must have gone out of his way to fulfill her rights, to keep her happy, to make her, to be generous and kind towards her. And as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself has interceded on behalf of the wives. If somebody has to say that the president of the country has interceded, or the president of the country has recommended or suggested or asked that I do this or I do that for you, then we'll say president of the country has said this. Now here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself is saying, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, which means that you should live with them in such a way that you are kind to them. You are gentle. You are not harsh. You are not hard. You do not do things that will cause injury and pain. There are many things that they will do which will cause hurt. But then when are we going to learn the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? She is a woman who has left her parents. She has left her family. She has left her home. She has left her whole society sometimes. And she comes, a total stranger, and she gives herself in to the husband. Completely strange. Some, as I was explaining, that those days it was not marriages like this, that you go and get to know them over a couple of years. But yet, after she has submitted herself, now she is cooking, baking and doing every kind of thing, and most of the things she is doing is not even her duty. She is doing it out of ihsan. So now the husbands demand rights, rights, rights. Because I'm talking to a general audience, therefore I say the husbands are demanding rights. The wives are demanding rights. Everybody wants rights, rights. But where is the fulfillment of the duty? And where is that going by the book of ihsan? Again, suddenly one, as I said, certain examples will come repeatedly and I can't help it. That we had a nikah here, and I must have mentioned this 120 times. That we had a nikah here, there was one cricketer that got married. So they asked for some nasihat. So the nasihat and advice I gave to him, I said, look, the nasihat is this, that you are playing cricket. And in cricket, what happens? I say, you have opposition, you have two teams that are playing. And whichever team is fielding, then your effort is to bowl the person out, to stump him out, to run him out, to catch him out, or to boot him out, or do something but get him out. That's what you try to do. Because he's your opposition. Sometimes what happens is that whilst you are bowling, you may have delivered the best of deliveries. And your best friend dropped the catch. The best of deliveries of your entire life. Because that batsman was not getting out. He was stuck there. He was like a permanent fixture and fitting of that crease. So now you gave the best delivery. But your best friend dropped the catch. What will you do? Will you swear him, curse him, boot him, kick him, shoot him? What will you do? You may frown, put a frown on your forehead, or you may just move your hand and get do some gesture of anger. That's all, that little while. But because he is part of your team, and accidentally he dropped that catch, you know it's an accidental thing. He's not going to do it purposely. He's your friend. So therefore you will overlook it. And you'll continue because you have an enemy or you have an opposition. So like that, our enemy and our opposition is nafs and shaitan. Nafs and shaitan want to see our marriages destroyed. They want to see our home lives in chaos. They want to see our children grow up watching us fighting like cats and dogs. And after that, they also behave in the same manner. They want to see our young daughters don't want to marry because they say what we saw of marriage in our home, it is disastrous. We don't want to go through such kind of things. Or if the father was a drug addict and a dakharuka, so then the children that are watching, then they say, we do not want to go through this kind of abuse. Look at my mother, what kind of abuse she suffered. So nafs and shaitan, our enemies, they want to destroy us. So at such a time, what should we do? We should bowl shaitan and nafs out of our lives. We should stump them out. We must stump shaitan out. We must run him out. We must bowl him out. We must catch him out. Take them out of our married life. Implement the teachings of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and you see what kind of happiness and what kind of sukoon the person will get. Then in the same way, if the wife has to make a mistake, then just think, my partner in marriage has made a mistake. As that friend overlooks the shortcoming of his friend who had to drop the catch, in the same way this woman, this husband says that, I am a man. I'm not a woman. That every little thing agitates me, irritates me, I lose my temper, Maulana, I give it to her. Then after that she takes out her high heel shoe and gives it to him too. We get letters like that. He gave me one punch, I gave him two. And if only she has a karate belt, then I'm sorry for that husband also. So bowl nafs and shaitan out of our lives. Bowl them out. Please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, fulfill the rights. Find out from the ulama. Read the literature. What are the rights of the wives? And go the extra mile. What is this every time asking things like, Maulana, how many times a year can I send my wife to her mother's house? They ask questions like that. Now do we go by everything? That is why I say the English, they have made law. Brother-in-law, mother-in-law, father-in-law, everybody in law. That means find something to take them to the law, to the courts. Go by the book of Ihsan. What would you like the person should do to your daughter? If your son-in-law has to ask that, how many times must I take her? If your son-in-law has to ask, how many times must I bring your daughter to your house? There are certain regulations and laws when there is a dispute, when there is an argument, when there is a problem, there is interference from the in-law sides or something, then you go by the book and you say this is how you should go. Otherwise, go by the book of Ihsan, go the extra mile. For whose benefit will that be? Who is going to enjoy life within the home? If the wife is pulled up, who is going to enjoy? Will there be any enjoyment and happiness? The same if the husband is pulled up, who's going to win? So therefore go the extra mile. Go by the book of Ihsan. So this is what I am saying. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Wabki ala khatiyati, cry over your sins. So there are lots of regulations, there are lots of laws, there are lots of rights, there are lots of duties and obligations. Everything Shariat has ironed it out, everything has been spelt out so that we do not have any kind of problem. But that doesn't mean that we go by the book and say, this is not my duty. This is not my duty. This is not my duty. So then the wives also can say, it's not my duty to cook for you. It's not my duty to clean your house. You must find a maid and get everything done. If they are doing it, it's an ihsan. Ask any jurist. So in the same way, we must go the extra mile also. Then see how much of happiness will come into that marriage. Now there are so many other incidents that are coming to mind, but we want to finish even if it is holiday. But people have to go sometimes, they have to catch a flight and it must be taken into consideration. So when it comes to nikahs, we must read the ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna. They are a garment unto you and you are a garment unto them. What does the garment do? It protects the person from sun, from rain, from heat and from the dust and from everything else. In the same way, husband and wife also should be protectors of each other. There should be no winning of points and scoring of points. سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو, سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ, سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو, سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ. او آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے, ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے, جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ. If we really become the غلامز and the slaves of رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, that means we implement his teachings in all aspects of our life, then we will find sukoon, peace, happiness, tranquility. There will be such unity, such kind of happiness that even the kings of the time do not know. شاہوں کے سروں پر تاج گرا سے درد سا اکثر رہتا ہے, اور اہل وفا کے سینوں میں ایک نور کا دریا بہتا ہے. On the heads of the kings there are crowns which are causing them a lot of pain and headaches. They have all the oil wells and they have kingdoms and they have everything, but they in fear all the time. They may be coup d'etat. And now they even fear that somebody may take out his shoe and blast it at his face, even though he may be president of some country. So, شاہوں کے سروں پر تاج گرا سے درد سا اکثر رہتا ہے, لیکن اہل وفا کے سینوں میں ایک نور کا دریا بہتا ہے. Those who are wafadar of Allah Ta'ala, those who have fulfilled the pledge that they made to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that will be obedient to you, Allah Ta'ala gives them ocean of noor in their hearts, which gives them such sukoon, such happiness. So we make dua, Allah Ta'ala make this couple also live a life of bliss and happiness. Allah Ta'ala unite their hearts. Allah Ta'ala bless them with pious and righteous children. Allah Ta'ala give them the best of dunya and akhirat. And may Allah remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and the problems of mankind around the globe, wherever there's drought, AIDS, famine. We must make dua for all of them, even though they may be non-Muslims. And we must make special dua for the Muslim Ummah, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect them, safeguard them, give them His Nusrat, His help, give them the best of this world and the best of Akhirah, and protect them from the attacks and injustices and tyranny and oppression of the enemies. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.